in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday as we head towards 2019. Where are we headed? Where are you headed is the question. What are you doing in 2019 to make things work? From a money perspective, are you feeling good about 2019? Are you nervous about 2018? Just an absolute roller coaster of a year. Throughout today, we've been talking about this concept of bouncing principle, really the changing the perspective of what you see from your investments. And if you can go from the price world that we live in to an understanding the income piece of the equation, you will change how you are as an investor in a very positive way over time. And I want to get to kind of the last part of understanding this concept of focusing in on income and not the price going up and down. And if you can do that, how wonderfully important that is for you making money over time. And that's what I want you to be able to do. And we'll do that. So good morning or good day. Welcome to Money Matters here. The number in the studio, and I want to go to the phones as well. So we're opening up phone lines again. Our call screening software is working. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. So again, if you're driving around town or maybe at home, hanging out here as we head into the holidays, and you've been thinking about, or something just financial question just nagging you. Hey, what should I be doing? Am I happy with how I'm and with what I am doing today? Do I feel good about my 401k account or my TSP plan? Is it in the right place? I feel good about it. Or my 403b plan at work? Do I feel good about that? Well, if you don't and you want some direction, some objective third party direction, we're here. That's exactly what we're here for on a Sunday morning. What do you own? International companies or U.S. companies? Are they dividend paying? Are they not dividend paying? Individual companies? Do you own individual stocks or ETFs? You still have a mutual funds. Maybe your mutual funds are great. Maybe they're old, expensive, clunky mutual funds that are dragging you down. Maybe 2019 is a conversion year for a Roth. Does that make sense? What would line up to make that work for you? Is 2019 an important retirement planning year for you? You're going to have to make a decision, lump sum versus a pension. Do you have to do that? Number one article at WesMoss.com this past year. The most read article is the article that we did on our site. It's actually on Clark Howard's site as well, on what you really need to think through or think about when it comes to a pension payout or taking a lump sum. Do you take the monthly amount forever? Or do you take the pension amount in big lump sum and invest it that way? Does it pass the 6% test? Are you withdrawing too much? What's a safe amount to withdraw? Are you adhering to or understand? Do you have a good understanding of the 4% rule? By the way, it was the second most read story at WesMoss.com in 2018. So do you understand the mechanics of withdrawal? Are you feeling like, hey, wait, what if we have, do it? I'm going to run out of money. Biggest fear in retirement planning there is. So any of these things that are nagging you or have been a question, we'd love to give you an objective, directional answer this Sunday morning. It's what we love to do. Investment related, retirement related, mortgage, borrowing, real estate, education, investment, taxes. Your calls will help others as well, because if you're thinking about it, you've got 100 other people that are worried about something similar. So give us a call here in the studio. Ryan Ely is standing by to take your call and patch it through. The number here again, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. Or if you're outside of Georgia, the number 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you're in Texas, Michigan, we've got our whole Michigan family coming down from Ann Arbor to Atlanta for the holidays. Probably, I don't know, 15 of them for a week or two. I'm excited. It's going to be fun. That's my wife's side of the family from Michigan. My family was here for Thanksgiving from Pennsylvania, California, North Carolina, all over the place. So again, the number here, and if you're in North Carolina or Texas or Michigan or Pennsylvania or California, the number 1-800-WSB-TALK, which is 800-972-8255. Good morning. Now, let's go through the rest of this important concept of this concept that'll help you be maybe the most important investing concept there is that has to do with this bouncing principle concept. Do Wes, you own, you asked me, Wes, I know I'm supposed to own stocks, I'm supposed to own bonds, but what's that mix and can I push up the level I have in fixed income or can I push up the level I have in stocks or is that just make me too risky? Well, the answer is if you can have stocks that again, and this is a world where dividend paying companies can have the same or much higher level of income as the bond market does because we're still in a low interest bond market or bond environment. So the answer is yes, you can have more in stocks if you have a diversified mix of different industries and the companies that you own are high quality blue chip and not just blue chip names. Remember the concept that General Electric is a blue chip, quote, in quotes, name, and that stock is down, let's call it 80%. So just because it's a blue chip name doesn't mean it's a blue chip company. Just remember that. Number two, if you can focus on the income payout or cash flow and ignore the price, as long as you have high quality companies in a diversified way, even though it's a price world, you can focus in on the income side of it. It will help you move away from this worrisome world that we live in that every day on the news is the Dow up 400, down 400, which drives most investors crazy. So everything has been designed to not allow you to handle a lot of risk. Or really, we say this where I throw the word risk around all the time. Really, the concept is to not handle volatility. That's what hurts as investors, the ups and the downs, the bouncing up and down of your principal. And sometimes the very significant ups and downs of price will happen even if you're doing the aforementioned high-quality companies that we just talked about. We own bonds not for their massive interest that we get today, but for their security of price. Pairing the stable price of bonds in your 401k or investment account with the volatile price of stocks, that's what dampens the overall volatility. And for a lot of investors, you have to have some sort of balance because just full exposure to stocks is just too much for people to bear. Now, all of this said, we also know that over time, and that's the key here, over time, stocks have been the best hedge against inflation. And over time, if you can find a way to focus your attention on income rather than price, it may help you up or increase your stock exposure and then increase what you earn in both income and total return over time, provided this economy continues to grow at least a measured pace of 2% plus a year. Bottom line, before we go to phones, bottom line here is that we are all after the same thing. We're after total return when we invest. The total return equation is real simple. It's just growth plus income. That's it. Growth is flashy and it's sexy and can make you queasy though, if that's all you focus on. Income is dull and it's boring, but it's steady. So if you can train yourself to focus more on stock dividends and not stock price, you can not only increase your overall income, as a lot of stocks today or many stocks pay more than bonds do today, you have an opportunity at more long-term growth than you would if you were overly heavy in bonds. Now, don't get me wrong. I still very much believe in having a balance of many asset classes. I still believe in that. But a large reason for that is dampening the overall volatility that you can handle. If you change your mindset or perspective on how you look at your portfolio, then I think it may give you more tolerance for owning a higher percentage in stocks or in equities. Again, provided they're the kind of stocks that you can count on for long-term stability, and they're not just blue chip in name, they're blue chip if you look under the hood. Even the highest quality dividend companies can have huge price fluctuation, and that's influenced by the market's overall movement. Very few stocks can fully buck a market trend. But if their income does not change or doesn't get lowered, then by nature, these high-quality dividend-paying companies should have their prices restored at some point after you go through the depths of corrections, similar to where we are today. If you can really understand and you can practice this concept, it can not only lead to more prosperity for you over time, but also a calmer ride really along the way. Ryan Ealy, it's time to go to the phones here. A lot of places to go. We're going to start with Tim in Tim, good morning. Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from and how can I help?
Well, I'm calling from Statham, Georgia.
Statham. Good. Well, thank you for the call. What's going on? How can I help?
Well, back in 2015, I was medically retired, and I've got my money tied up in my TSP.
TSP, the Thrift Savings Plan. Okay.
Right. And I've got it kind of broke up between the G, the seed, S, and the I fund.
GCSI, which would be government bond, so super, super conservative. C yep. is the common stock. It's really the C is the S&P 500 fund. S is small cap, and I is international. Well, the question is, what's the percentage? How much do you have in the G fund, Tim? That's kind of the biggest question.
Yeah, in G, I've got 25%.
And then the other 75% between those three. How much in C?
C, I've got 34.89. The S, I have 34.40, and the I have 5%.
All right, so you're mostly U.S. large cap and small cap with a little bit of a buffer of fixed income or core government bond is what the G fund does. I guess the question is that the right allocation for you? So I want to ask you, well, we've got a little, hang on 1 second here. We're going to get a quick break, come back with Jim from Statham talking about his TSP plan. Is it the right mix for Tim when Money Matters returns? Again, you can find us online. The two articles I mentioned are at westmoss.com about the 4% rule, it's a withdrawal rule, and the lump sum versus pension. You can also contact me through that website, upper right-hand corner, there's the contact button at Westmoss, WESMOSS.com. More Money Matters. And Tim from Statham, straight ahead. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to go right back to the phones here. If you're just tuning in, I think we're going back to Tim and Statham. Hey, Tim, good morning. And your question, again, was about TSP, the Thrift Savings Plan. So you a government employee, I guess?
I was. I was medically retired in 2015.
Got it.
I was what they would call a military technician.
You're a military technician. Okay, so you are retired, and the funds are still in TSP. A couple questions. So the way you have this structured is, I would say, pretty aggressive, which may be okay. It's 75% in the U.S. large cap and small cap. It's a little bit in international. And you have a buffer of 25% in the G fund, which is really just government bonds. Those are just treasuries. My question, though, Tim, are you starting to want to use this money? Is it part of the...
No, I don't. Nope. I don't do anything with it until I absolutely have to.
Okay, so you don't even need it to produce income right now. You have plenty of other income?
Yes.
So I'd say because you have such a long-term hold here, meaning that you're not going to touch it for 10 years or longer until, let's say, you have to at some point, the answer is that I would keep it in an allocation like you have. Now, I would say this is a pretty aggressive allocation because, again, if you have 34% in U.S. small cap, which can be really super volatile. We talked a lot today about owning dividend-paying companies so that you can generate income. And that's great if you're in retirement and you need the income. And you typically don't really want to own a lot of small cap if you do that. Small companies, let's call it under $1 billion, they typically don't pay very significant. They either pay zero in income or cash flow or dividends, or just a tiny little bit just as almost a... kind of a...
Yeah, just enough to make you mad.
Just enough to kind of say, that, hey, we pay a dividend, but it doesn't really matter. If you really are looking for dividend income, you need to go large, very large cap U.S. and international, but you don't need it. So I like your allocation, Tim. Know that it's gonna bounce up and down all over the place with volatile markets, but that's fine.
Yeah.
From a growth perspective, because you don't need it.
Yeah. Well, I started out this year. I started out with 200. I jumped all the way up to 240. Now I'm down to 217.
So you're almost back to where you were. I think the way you are is, in my opinion, moving forward for the circumstances you told me, is a pretty good place to be. You may even consider getting out of the 25% G and allocate the rest of that back to the C, which is the S&P 500. Tim, thank you for the call, my friend. If you would like to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Upper right-hand corner, emails come straight to me and the team. More Money Matters straight ahead. Well, I guess that's us. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday. We're going to go to the phones. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I am your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday, along with Ryan Ely. We've talked about the top two articles this year so far. Far and away, the 4% rule. Again, Chris, I'm trying to think of anything more important than controlling your withdrawal rate and then adjusting for inflation. That's what the 4% rule will help you do. You want to make sure you stay anywhere from just below we call the danger zone and just above what's called the Buffett zone. Put those together. And if you're in that range, the 4% rule works for 30 plus years. At least historically and mathematically it does. So that's the 4% rule under the money tab at wesmoss.com. And then, of course, the lump sum versus pension rule, probably again, number one article of the year to try to help you figure out how, if you should take a lump sum from your employer, put it in an IRA, create your own pension, or just take the guaranteed monthly amount for the rest of your life. Big decisions, a lot of variables, hugely important. And again, under the money tab at wesmoss.com, probably the most fun articles of the year, 10 places to live most inexpensively or cheapest abroad outside of the United States. Folks tend to, at least if you don't even want to do it, it's still fun to look at where you can go in these wonderful towns outside of the United States for under $2,000 a month. We will go to, and then again, that's at wesmoss.com under the money tab and under the adventure tab. WESMOSS.com. And at the upper right-hand corner, if you have something that is a complex situation or you need help in 2019, as an investor, we're here to help too. You can send us questions directly through the website or just call us. Or again, go to WESMOSS.com and the contact button, upper right-hand corner. Now, we're heading back to the phones here. Ryan, where are we going again? We're headed to John in Athens. John, good morning. How can I help?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for the show. Wanted to ask a question, a taxation question. And you've been talking about these dividend-paying stocks, and earlier you talked to a lady about a Vanguard high dividend ETF. Wanted to ask about the tax consequences in a taxable account because, you know, if you're in a high bracket, you know, is that all going to be taxes, ordinary income, that dividend income?
This is a hard, I guess it's a, it's the answer here is typically no, it's not. Well, the answer is, first of all, no, dividend income. And this is what one of my favorite things about dividends. It's the tax treatment. And it's a little bit complicated because there's multiple tax rates depending on your income bracket. But it's a lot, but it's simpler than ordinary income. So very simply, if you own a bond or a CD and you get interest, it's just taxed at your ordinary rate, right? So if you're married, filing jointly in 2018, if you're above $600,000 in income, you're at the highest bracket, 37%. And of course, there's state on top of that. You've got, think about, let's say the 24% bracket is $165,000 all the way up to $315,000. But the dividend rate, what you pay on the dividends you receive, qualified dividends from stocks, is different and a lot lower. So if you are, and there are three rates, most folks, and I'm gonna, most folks in America will pay anywhere from the 15%. So even if you're in the 35% income bracket, you're gonna pay for the most part, you could be paying at 15%.
So long-term capital gains rates.
It's long-term.
What you'll pay on qualified dividends.
Long-term capital gains. So even if you're in that very highest bracket, remember, the long-term capital gains rates, which again, same for dividends, it's 0%, 15%, and 20%. And as a reminder, as long as you're staying in the, if you're in the 12% bracket in the new tax regime in 2018, so you have to be under $77,200, let's say, in 2018, your capital gain rate is zero. And your dividend rate would be zero. So in some cases, you actually have zero taxes on qualified dividends. That's why I love dividends so much. You get from 77 grand, 201, this is for 2018, all the way up to $479,000 in income that keeps you in the 15 bracket. So that's why. So right. Most folks in America are, if you're investing, you're going to be in that 15 or even lower at zero. It's not until you hit above 479,000. Again, this is married filing jointly. When you hit the 35% and 37% ordinary income bracket, that would push you into the 20% capital gain bracket as well. John in Athens, thank you for the call. Very important concept when it comes to the taxation on dividends. Again, it can get even a little more complicated than that. So just make sure as you're doing your planning, you talk to your CPA, you understand all the other variables that go into your overall tax rate, because there again, there's no taxes, of course, are not always just black and white. There's very often some sort of additional variable you've got to factor in. But of course, we all know that. And that's why we go to our CPAs and run tax projections. Right, Ryan? Yes. And where do we head next? We are headed to Angela in Johns Creek. Angela, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
Hey, Wes. I'm calling today to get some advice around a deferred compensation plan, what the difference is with that plan versus a regular 401k.
So a couple of thoughts here. So Angela is asking about, so a deferred comp plan is very different from a 401k. In some respects, and then there are a couple of things that make it very much like a 401k. But there's some other things to really consider. 401k, you put money away, that is your money, it's protected. Doesn't matter what happens to the company, they can go out of business, doesn't matter. It is your money that you can roll over into an individual retirement account and you have no worry if something happens to the company, right? One big difference with deferred comp is that the money that you are deferring, and again, similar to a 401k, you put it in here pre-tax, so you get to defer that income until a later date. But it goes on the balance sheet of the company that you're working for. So that if you're working for a big company, if you're at IBM, no big deal. You're not ever worried about, hey, is IBM going under at any point? Am I ever going to lose my deferred comp? Probably not a concern. Right. But if you're working for Jiminy Cricket's rickety shop somewhere and you're doing a deferred comp there, then you've got to worry. If I've got $50,000 in my deferred comp plan and the company has financial trouble and goes away, you could lose the whole thing. You've got to make sure that the company you're working for is safe and sound in order to even consider deferred comp. The second part that is a little bit different. So, again, similar to 401k is that when you pull it out, you pay ordinary income rates, not long-term capital gain, like we just talked about with a caller about dividend income, right? But you're going to pay ordinary income. But every company has its own special plan for deferred comp. So a lot of companies will say, okay, when you take your deferred comp, you're going to get it in one big lump sum. And that can have a huge tax impact on you if it's all $50,000 just hits in 1 year. Or very often you'll see companies spread it out and say you have to take it over 3 years or 5. In some cases, a company will say you can take this over 10. I've seen lately more and more companies have somewhat shorter schedules where they'll say you can either take it all in one lump sum or you have to take it over 3 or 5 years. And if you have a really large deferred comp plan, several hundred thousand dollars, remember, if you can only spread it out over 3 years, it can have a huge impact on your ordinary income bracket. And you've got to plan for that, whether you're working or you're retired, because it's going to have a huge impact on your overall adjusted gross income or your taxable, what your tax rate is in that given year when all this deferred comp gets dumped onto your tax return. So to some extent, it's still a good tool to use. Most companies don't have a deferred comp plan unless it's a pretty large, robust company. That's a consideration. The second part is how long you're able to schedule it out. Angela, hopefully that answers your question. I guess.
Thank you,
Angela. And good. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to continue to go to the phone to the number 404-872-0750. Ryan Ely, where are we headed here, my friend? Ryan's busy today. He's just all over, just answering the phones, on the line. We're going to line one. Is that where we're headed? Okay. We're going to Dave in Atlanta. Good. Dave, welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can we help?
Well, Wes, I have a windfall that I'm going to be receiving, low six digits, and I have a what I consider to be an acceptable 401k for my wife and I, and I have questions about whether I should keep that windfall in an after-tax stock and other portfolio, or should I start rolling that into an IRA and then converting it to a Roth.
A lot going on there, Dave. How old are you guys and how many?
We're in our mid-50s, and we anticipate 15 more years before we need to get into this money.
Long, super long time horizon, and both of you are working, so pretty high tax bracket?
Yeah, we pay taxes on about 150 to 175.
All right. A couple of thoughts here. The answer. Let's assume you said low six figures. So let's say it's 150,000. I would tell you that if you guys have a 401k already at work, which I assume you do, correct?
Yep.
Then you're going to still want to do a 401k. You're not going to do a regular IRA. It sounds like with your income, you guys could do a Roth every year, but you've got to stay within the Roth parameter. So that's, I would do that. So I would invest the 150 in a brokerage account. And then if you don't have the excess savings in a given year, because everything's going into your 401k, then take your $6,500 a year from the brokerage account. And as long as you have ordinary income, which you will because you're working, and long as you qualify for a Roth and at your income level, it sounds like you do, then yes, take that brokerage money every year and contribute that to a Roth. Again, as long as you have ordinary income, the IRS doesn't care where the money's coming from. As long as you have ordinary income, you can slowly transition some of that money each year from the brokerage account into the Roth. And you've got 15 years. So you want to build up your Roth account. If you've got a rank investment accounts, Roth account, regular IRA, 401k after tax, the number one account to have money in out of all of those is the Roth IRA, because of course it grows tax deferred, and then it comes out tax free, which is a wonderful tax treatment when you get into retirement. You're listening to Money Matters. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Articles we mentioned today under the Money tab, and find us here in the Atlanta area. Upper right-hand corner of the contact button. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here on WSB straight ahead. Welcome back to Money Matters here. As we enter into the holidays, it's time for a prize pack. It maybe helps out with the holidays. I sure hope it does. Ryan Ely, what's going on with the prize pack today?
The weekend prize pack is 4 tickets to the Atlanta Gladiators inaugural Wizard Night featuring Harry Potter themed activities Saturday, December 29th at Infinite Energy Arena, and a pair of tickets to see Three Dog Night in concert Friday, April 5th in Byers Theater at the Sandy Springs Performing Arts Center. Caller number 5, the tickets are yours.
All I heard there was Harry Potter, which sounds good for the holiday season.
Yeah, that's going to be a special night.
It surely sounds as though for the whole family. As we have talked about throughout today, we want to focus our attention on dividend income. Maybe that's a resolution for 2019. I don't know. I don't think it's a bad resolution for you to think about putting on your list. But the outlook for 2019, we've had a very choppy 2018. I think 2019 ends up as a pretty decent year, but it's not going to be an easy year. I think it's going to test your mettle as an investor. All the uncertainty that's plaguing the market now and it has this year, it's not going away anytime soon. The Fed, higher interest rates, trade with China, what's happening with politics and Washington, none of this is made for an easy year. And I don't think that's going away anytime soon in 2019. I do think it's a good market year eventually. But again, I think we'll still test your mettle. So the question I have for you, are you in the right place to enter into 2019 with your retirement accounts, your IRA, your 401k, the brokerage account? We talked about that today here on the show. Are you taking on too much risk that you can't handle? It's going to make you have sleepless nights in 2019. Or somewhat with the theme that we talked about today, are you maybe not taking in enough risk because you're not looking at your portfolio in the right way? You're focusing all on price, when you should start shifting towards a focusing on income. Can you, and here's a question, this is a simple way to think about it, can you articulate what your strategy is right now for 2019 or 18, at any time? If you can't say it in 10 seconds, then it's time to figure it out. I think that's easy to do and will improve your investment life and your peace of mind. And this is exactly what we help you with here on Money Matters. So thanks for tuning in. We love to do the show, and we thank you for being with us. You can also listen to it via podcast. Go to the podcast app. You can go to look for Wes Moss Money Matters. We've been doing this for a very long time. We'd love to help. You can find us, call us, email us. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Again, that's just WESMOSS.com. Contact button is in the upper right-hand corner. Those emails come straight to me and the team. Merry Christmas. Stay tuned to WSB Radio.